Ooh, we this is the Council Cadet Shami, host Baby Vix on this fresh episode. We are going to be discussing standards 3 and 4 for the Council of Keys evaluation. Of course, I'm in Georgia, but some of these standards apply since they're based on the ASCO national model. We also going to talk about a fall break, in the words of Murdy Mac. When we break, we break. Give you one tip to do during your fall break or any type of long extended days off from work. We're going to talk about my housekeeper items. And of course, we're going to have my final thought on sacrifices and sacrificing. And this is the part of the show I say, let's go.
Popped out the Benz like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big Wunder make me set like second nature.
As I said in my opening, we are going to be going over our standards 3 and 4 for Council Keys evaluation. So I'm in Georgia with this, our evaluation system. Each state is going to have a different evaluation system for council. Some might not have one, but since I'm in Georgia, I'm going over these standards. And the standards we're going to be going over are standards 3 and 4. Standard 3 is the instructional strategies part of the delivery system. They haven't changed the verbiage yet to mimic ASCA's national model, which switched over to the fourth edition in 2019. This standard says the professional school counselor promotes student learning by implementing a comprehensive school counselor program. By spending 80% of time in school counseling core curriculum, individual student planning, responsive services, and individual student services, and 20% in program planning and school support. School support is basically fair share responsibilities that's shared in share without the school throughout the school with everybody. For instance, like afternoon duty, possibly morning duty as an example. Program planning, advisory council, lesson planning, supervising the intern, those type of things. So what we're going to do is go over level 3 and level 4 ideas for you to get a maximum score on your evaluation. And of course level 3 is school counselor is consistently showing, and level 4 is learning by implementing exemplary comprehensive school counselor program positively impacts the overall school strategic plan. So 3 shows that you're doing this on a consistent basis. 4 is showing that your plan is using the school strategic plan and is an exemplary level. So let's look at level 3 ideas that you can use. For one, facilitate individual planning through appraisal and advisement, developmentally appropriate classroom, small group lessons within the 3 domains, and they're linked to those standards, which is basically lesson plans. Response to services, for crisis response and counseling, learning activities in the classroom, college career activities, and you deliver indirect services as far as collaborations, consultation, and referrals, such as DPAS referral or collaborating with teachers or other counselors as far as the best possible plan to close gaps or to exhibit academic, social, emotional awareness and career readiness for our students. And of course, the 80-20. 80-20 is going to be the hardest thing to get for any counselor, especially in middle school, because you have so many other duties that's needed within the building, and your building is ran, each building is ran differently. So depending on the building you are at, that 80-20 could look different. For example, my previous school I was at, Apple Middle School, my 80% might be 50 to 60% responsive services, 10% collaboration and referrals, and possibly 10% in core curriculum. Some schools it might be 40% core curriculum, 30% responsive services, and 10% collaboration. It just depends on your climate and your culture and your building, as well as your demographic. Each school is totally different. So for instance, as far as the level three, when you do your core curriculum, go ahead and create a lesson plan for it. Each lesson plan should have mindsets and behaviors attached to it, with pre and post test data to drive that program to close those gaps that you're looking to improve on. Making sure that those core curriculum that you're conducting is needed for students, not what you think students need, but what the students feel they need, or what the students say they need as far as a health survey or a student needs assessment. You also go to a parent needs assessment. A lot of these data points you actually put in standard 5 or 6. We'll get to that on the next episode as far as driving data and using data for your program. That's the gist of getting a level three. Also, for high school counselors, of course, individual advisement and appraisal when you're looking at transcript comparison, transcript review, grade review, milestones review. Part of those could also be on a strategic plan where you have a goal of by the end of 2023, we will increase the number of students meeting proficient by 10% from 20 to 22 students. 20 to 24 students, I'm sorry, 20 to 24 students. That would be a SMART goal that you would use for part of your appraisal advisement piece of it. Another idea you can do also as far as driving a program is doing table talks or possibly mass assemblies for students discussing various topics that might range from how to use student portal, or talk about an issue with inappropriate touching, how to calculate your GPA, a refresher on that. Those will be great ways for school counselors, to help students and scholars to close their gaps and create goals. For me this year, I did this in my previous school. This year I'm doing academic advising with all my seventh graders. Now I have a big middle school. I have 360 seventh graders. But what I'm doing is I'm meeting with them individually for a couple of reasons. My first reason why I'm meeting with all of my middle school seventh graders is to put my face to them, try to get to know them by their name, have a short conversation about 5 minutes, depending on what their grades look like for the previous year and what the conversation may lead. It's not a long conversation, maybe 3 to 5 minutes. It might be 10, depending on the student. Some other things are going on where I might want to take a few notes on it and then remind myself to just check in on that student from time to time. Within my evaluation of those students' grades, I use a Microsoft form. I put their name, their homeroom teacher, their previous year milestone scores for ELA and math, since 7th, 6th grade do not test in social studies and science. I use universal screener scores from the previous semester, which would be spring. We are conducting our screeners now, but I'm using the spring screeners right now, so I can use that data to drive them for this year. I also talk about their previous GPA, talk about classes they might have struggled in, or if they have multiple classes they struggled in. Also look at their attendance for the last 4 to 7 years. One thing about in the campus, we have a platform inside of it that takes you to another tab called SLDS, which all students actually have access to, which I'll be teaching them on our table talk next week. When I say next week, the week of the 5th through the 9th of September. I showed them how to find their milestone scores, how to find their Lexile score from the milestones, how to find out what areas they possibly need to remediate in those said subjects when they tested. So that is how I get in depth as far as making sure I'm a level three with scholars. Now, if you want to get level four, you want to make a positive impact on student achievement and meet the strategic goal plans by your counseling activities, and how you attract that will be your results report that you do from the ASCA templates, which you'll find on schoolcounselor.org. At the beginning of the year, if you have time to do it, if you're a 190-day employee, you might be doing a little bit of work during the summer. If you're 220, you should be doing this in July when your master schedule should be completed and your counseling department can actually plan on things that you want to do for the year. You want to make sure that your time is aligned with the national model recommendation, which is 80-20. You want to ramp, from what I understand, it's not about 80-20. It's more about the growth and the gaps being closed by that counseling department, which drives a school being ramped. And also collaborate with professional development and other educators on comprehensive school counseling programs. So when you do vertical meetings with your feeder schools, or you work with other cluster grade level counselors, like sixth grade counselors, or eighth grade counselors, or seventh grade counselors, or high school counselors. So when you look at high school counselors, if you go by alphabetics, then you don't need to have separate meetings for 9th and 10th grade or 11th and 12th grade. But definitely 12th graders would have the most time, because that's their last year. They need to make sure there's not any credits to be made up or recovered, or making sure that they're on time to graduate, on track to graduate. Want to make sure that they possibly can be areas for dual enrollment. You look at that in 11th grade, unless they're going to a technical school in Georgia, you actually apply for dual enrollment in your 10th grade year. That's a great opportunity to start getting a head start in college. You could take up to 30 hours in Georgia for dual enrollment. So that way, you could at least don't have to worry about paying for a year of college, because the state takes care of that for funding. 80-20, making sure that you use a time tracking tool. You can use a spreadsheet if you're comfortable using Excel or formatting your Google Forms to the time that you use. That's a great tool to use. I use Scooter. You have a counselor up. Easy Analyze is an antiquated tool that is so hard. I tried to download it one time while I was on during my internship. I undownloaded it and threw it in the trash. It was not easy to use for me. Everybody else some folks might be different. Some folks might just like using a calendar, color coding, and just calculate by hand. I use Scooter, it completes my calendar for me, it calculates my time, show me areas where I might need to improve on, and that could be the best thing for me. Be right back with some more thoughts on those evaluation tools right after this. As I said in my opening, we are going to be going over our standards 3 and 4 for Council Keys evaluation. So I'm in Georgia, because our evaluation system, each state is going to have a different evaluation system for council. Some might not have one, but since I'm in Georgia, I'm going over these standards. And the standards we're going to be going over are standards 3 and 4. Standard 3 is the instructional strategies part of the delivery system. They haven't changed the verbiage yet to mimic ASCA's national model, which switched over to the 4th edition in 2019. This standard says the professional school counselor promotes student learning by implementing a comprehensive school counseling program, by spending 80% of time in school counseling core curriculum, individual student planning, responsive services, and individual student services, and 20% in program planning and school support. School support is basically fair share responsibilities that's shared and shared throughout the school with everybody. For instance, like afternoon duty, possibly morning duty as an example. Program planning, advisory council, lesson planning, supervising the intern, those type of things. So what we're going to do is go over level 3 and level 4 ideas for you to get a maximum score on your evaluation. And of course, level 3 is school counseling is consistently showing, and level 4 is learning by implementing exemplary comprehensive school counseling program positively impacts the overall school strategic plan. So 3 shows that you're doing this on a consistent basis. 4 is showing that your plan is using the school strategic plan and is an exemplary level. So let's look at level 3 ideas that you can use. For one, facilitate individual planning through appraisal and advisement. developmentally appropriate classroom and small group lessons within the three domains, and they're linked to those standards, which is basically lesson plans. Response to services, for crisis response and counseling, learning activities in the classroom, college, career activities, and you deliver indirect services as far as collaborations, consultation, and referrals, such as DFAS referral or collaborating with teachers or other counselors as far as the best possible plan to close gaps or to exhibit academic, social, emotional awareness, and career readiness for our students. And of course, the 80-20. 80-20 is going to be the hardest thing to get for any counselor, especially in middle school, because you have so many other duties that's needed within the building, and your building is ran, each building is ran differently. So depending on the building you are at, that 80-20 could look different. For example, my previous school, I was at Apple Middle School, my 80% might be 50 to 60% responsive services, 10% collaboration and referrals, and possibly 10% in core curriculum. Some schools it might be 40% core curriculum, 30% responsive services, and 10% collaboration. It just depends on your climate and your culture in your building, as well as your demographic. Each school is totally different. So for instance, as far as the level three, when you do your core curriculum, go ahead and create a lesson plan for it. Each lesson plan should have mindsets and behaviors attached to it, with pre and post test data to drive that program to close those gaps that you're looking to improve on. Making sure that those core curriculum that you're conducting is needed for students, not what you think students need, but what the students feel they need, or what the students say they need as far as a health survey or a student needs assessment. You also go to a parent needs assessment. A lot of these data points you actually put in standard 5 or 6 and or 6. We'll get to that on the next episode as far as driving data and using data for your program. That's the gist of getting to level 3. Also, for high school counselors, of course, individual advisement and appraisal when you're looking at transcript comparison, transcript review, grade review, milestones review. Part of those could also be on a strategic plan where you have a goal of by the end of 2023, we will increase the number of students meeting proficient by 10% from 20 to 22 students. 20 to 24 students. I'm sorry. 20 to 24 students. That would be a SMART goal that you would use for part of your appraisal advisement piece of it. Another idea you can do also as far as driving a program is doing table talks or possibly mass assemblies for students discussing various topics that might range from how to use student portal, or talk about an issue with inappropriate touching, how to calculate your GPA, a refresher on that. Those will be great ways for students to for school counselors, excuse me, to help students and scholars to close their gaps and create goals. For me this year, I did this in my previous school. This year I'm doing academic advising with all my 7th graders. Now I have a big middle school. I have 360 7th graders. But what I'm doing is I'm meeting with them individually for a couple reasons. My first reason why I'm meeting with all my middle school 7th graders is to put my face to them, try to get to know them by their name, have a short conversation about 5 minutes, depending on what their grades look like for the previous year and what the conversation may lead. It's not a long conversation, maybe 3 to 5 minutes. It might be 10, depending on the student. If some other things are going on where I might want to take a few notes on it, and then remind myself to just check in on that student from time to time. Within my evaluation of those students' grades, I use a Microsoft form. I put their name, their homeroom teacher, their previous year milestone scores for ELA and math, since 7th, 6th grade do not test in social studies and science. I use universal screener scores from the previous semester, which would be spring. We are conducting our screeners now, but I'm using the spring screeners right now, so I can use that data to drive them for this year. I also talk about their previous GPA, talk about classes they might have struggled in, or if they have multiple classes they struggled in. Also look at their attendance for the last 4 to 7 years. One thing about Infinite Campus, we have a platform inside of it that takes you to another tab called SLDS, which all students actually have access to, which I'll be teaching them on our table talk next week. When I say next week, the week of the 5th through the 9th of September. I showed them how to find their milestone scores, how to find their Lexile score from the milestones, how to find out what areas they possibly need to remediate in those said subjects when they test it. So that is how I get in-depth as far as making sure I'm a level 3 with scholars. Now, if you want to get level 4, you want to make a positive impact on student achievement and meet the strategic goal plans by your counseling activities, and how you attract that will be your results report that you do with from the ASPA templates, which you'll find on schoolcounselor.org. When you, at the beginning of the year, if you have time to do it, if you're 190-day employee, you might be doing a little bit of work during the summer. If you're 220, you should be doing this in July when your master schedule should be completed and your counseling department can actually plan on things that you want to do for the year. You want to make sure that your use of time is aligned with the national model recommendation, which is 80-20. You want to ramp, from what I understand, it's not about 80-20. It's more about the growth and the gaps being closed by that counseling department, which drives a school being ramped. And also collaborate with professional development and other educators on comprehensive school counseling programs. So when you do vertical meetings with your feeder schools, or you work with other cluster grade level counselors like sixth grade counselors or eighth grade counselors or seventh grade counselors or high school counselors. So when you look at high school counselors, if you go by alphabetics, then you don't need to have separate meetings for 9th and 10th grade or 11th and 12th grade. But definitely 12th graders would have the most time, because that's their last year. They need to make sure there's not any credits to be made up or recovered, or making sure that they're on time to graduate, on track to graduate. Want to make sure that they possibly can be areas for dual enrollment. You look at that in 11th grade, unless they're going to a technical school in Georgia, you could actually apply for dual enrollment in your 10th grade year. That's a great opportunity to get a head start in college. You could take up to 30 hours in Georgia for dual enrollment. So that way, you could at least don't have to worry about paying for a year of college, because the state takes care of that for funding. 80-20, making sure that you use a time tracking tool. You can use a spreadsheet if you're comfortable using Excel or formatting your Google Forms to the time that you use. That's a great tool to use. I use Scooter. You have a counselor up. Easy Analyze is an antiquated tool that is so hard. I tried to download it one time while I was on during my internship. I undownloaded it and threw it in the trash. It was not easy to use for me. Some folks might be different. Some folks might just like using the calendar, color coding, and just calculating by hand. I use Scooter. It completes my calendar for me. It calculates my time, show me areas where I might need to improve on, and that can be the best thing for me. I'll be right back with some more thoughts on those evaluation tools right after this. So my school district is about to go on a fall break in a day or two. I'm going to use that time to absolutely do nothing. I'm not going to open up a laptop. I'm not going to open a Chromebook that has to do with anything with work. I'm going to use this time to rest my head, rest my mind, rest my body, because I'm tired. So anybody that's about to hit fall break within the next 3 weeks, please use this time to do absolutely nothing. If you have a trip plan, go on that trip. If you don't have a trip plan, go on a trip. Find a way to get out of your house if you want to for a day or two. Make it feel like that you are not influence be anywhere near your school. Make sure that you self-care. We say that so generally or matter-of-fact-ish, but truly make sure you take time for yourself to do things that you enjoy or just do nothing. That's my self-care. I lay on the couch and literally watch TV all day. I don't try to do anything at all. So I try to make sure that if I'm doing something, unless it's an absolute emergency, like a DFAS report that cannot wait, I do nothing with school. It could wait till Monday when I get back. One thing also to remember, friends of mine out there, turn on your auto message on your email. You'll thank me later. You will not see any alerts for anybody trying to alert you while you're gone. That is a blessing to have when you set it on auto alert, that you will not auto alert, auto reply. So that way you will not see any emails from work. Another tip is just either delete the whole app off your phone or turn off the notifications. That's the easier way to do it. So that way you don't have to see it until you be surprised when you get back to work, see 55,000 emails. Now that could be daunting to get 55,000 emails, but it's the best thing to worry about, having to worry about it. I remember one time, I think we was on winter break, and my email, I didn't see no emails. That's because somebody had my account. I had to during my fall, my winter break, I had to get it reset. I had to go through 500 emails that was pushed through our archives. But it felt good not to have to check my email for about 5-6 days until the last day when I tried to check it. Couldn't check it because it got hacked. But make sure you have something set for auto reply. You gotta change your life on breaks. Even when you're just out of time for one day, nothing wrong with an auto reply. That's the best thing you could have did. Now I'll be right back with my housekeeping items right after this. Of course, this is the part of the show where we talk about our housekeeping items. You can, of course, follow me, my podcast on Anchor, listen to on Spotify, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and of course Apple Podcasts. You can follow me on the Twitter at FadeThePSC. You can also follow me on Facebook, the Council's Connection with Baby and Vix. You can also follow me on FadeTheCouncil.weeb.com. Don't go on there. You're gonna be disappointed. I haven't updated in a while, so just been busy, and I just use that as like a reference for a digital portfolio and some resources that I post on there. Just haven't done in a while. Just been busy, but just want to use some updates on some future episodes. Steve and Caroline will be coming on the show this month to discuss comic book shows like Moon Knight and possibly Thor Love and Thunder, some other shows, and She-Hulk, to discuss the of course how it relates to Council with new shows, plus we get to geek out on those shows. We're going to have a special episode talking about scholarships with Renee Lopez. I'll talk about her book and go into more in depth as far as what things we need to be looking for, students need to be looking for when looking at a scholarship. We are also going to have hopefully in the future, we're going to have John Burnett on the podcast. We're working out some dates when he's available to come on. Very excited to get to talk to him. We have met him at ASCA this summer. I was a pretty cool guy. Also, I will be appearing on the Key to Success podcast with Terrell Key on September 26th. Is video podcast through YouTube with Steve Sharp, John Wosu, and Brian Coleman. All of us are going to be on there on the 26th. I do not know what we're going to be talking about. I do not have a heads up, but I know it's going to be a great time, because you know we had Brian, Steve, and John on a couple times last season, and it's something great to look forward. But that is all the updates I have for this present moment. We'll be right back with my final thoughts right after this. So my final thought, it took me a lot of to discuss this, and we're going to get dealt with just a subject that can be powerful or could be destructive when we bring the word sacrifice. When I think about sacrifice, I'm thinking we're supposed to about he sacrifices life for the country, or if you're a religious person, you say Jesus sacrificed it all for us or whatnot. But when we look at the definition, of sacrifice, an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine supernatural figure, offer or kill as a religious sacrifice. In the context of the definition, it's just talking about the main part of the definition is just talking about a religious act. When we look up another definition, all of it, an act of giving up something valuable for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. Or we look at a move intended to allow the opponent to win a pawn or piece for strategic or tactical reasons. A bid made in the relief that it will be less costly to be defeated in the contract than to allow the opponents to make a contract. That's been bridge, the game of bridge. Baseball sacrifice bunt or sacrifice fly. Bunted ball that puts the batter out but allows the base runner or runners to advance. So there's different types of sacrifice when we define it. The sacrifice that I'm talking about, it's not going to be religious because this is not a religious podcast. This is a podcast about school counseling and education and some pop culture and some current events. So the act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. When we, as educators, especially as counselors, we look at our time as counselors as a sacred time, as part of the day that we have scheduled and set aside for students and parents and working with and for teachers and advocation of the best possible versions of themselves. Sometimes when we sacrifice those moments as far as doing core curriculum or small groups or even individual planning with students or responsive services, we're sacrificing that time something that's more important or worthy. Now, I'm not saying that we should sacrifice everything we do in our program. Sometimes those sacrifices are made in the long run when it's time for our comprehensive program to shine. Administrators will see the sacrifice we make for them, which is their something else regarded as more important or worthy, their right now need. They will see that the counseling department needs this time to make sure that they're in alignment with our continuous improvement plan. I'm not saying we always have to sacrifice. Sometimes we just have to advocate. We have to put our foot down and say, hey, we have to do this. There's things we have to complete. This is something that's needed in this building because I have 50 students that are failing two or more classes, and 25% of them are on the football team. I'm just using an example. I'm not giving away actual numbers, but I'm just using it as an example. I can't do small groups or a lunch bunch with these students because I'm doing lunch duty, because I cannot effectively do a small group during lunch with fidelity if I'm monitoring 300 students in the cafeteria. I can't do a counselor's corner inside of a cafeteria if I'm monitoring students, making sure there's no food being thrown or nobody fighting. That is a sacrifice that counselors make across the country to do specific duties that are non-counseling related to make sure the daily business of the school runs. That's a sacrifice that we make to make sure that when we have to make sure that our comprehensive program is up and running and in alignment with the ASCA National Model and our comprehensive school council program, we make those sacrifices to make sure that the school is running, to be in alignment, to be a team player, to make sure that nothing else fails. I know sometimes counselors, I might get mad at me when I say this. sometimes we feel like we're a catch-all for everything. It's true. I feel like we're a catch-all. But sometimes that sacrifice is going to be a bigger door for us to make sure that our comprehensive program will shine through. In my previous district, I advocated hard for counselors not to be doing 504 and RTIs. The superintendent at that time, he's retired now, said, "I agree, but who else is going to do it?" That was his exact words. I showed him the data and time. I'm stating to him, you have enough administrators in the building to split this up, and not every student needs a 504. If you do MTSS or RTI properly, half your school will not be on it. So when you have students that are in tier 3, that's what needs to be on RTI. The students that are looking at being placed in special ed classes, they need to be in the RTI process. Of course, has to start with them. Immediately, they start off in tier 3. But those sacrifices are still being made by those counselors in that county to make sure the students are advocated for, as well as teachers. But sometimes when they try to do different things they want to implement, they have to sacrifice those things to make sure that their program is ready to go. And sometimes it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes when we sacrifice, because we know everything there's things we got to have done, but yet we have to make sure the building is running. Now, sacrifice doesn't just come from the counselors and our families that are sacrificing our time with our families. Administrators are sacrificing their time with their families. Sometimes when we look at what an administrator sacrificed or other teachers, there are things they're sacrificing sometimes. Sometimes when we sacrifice, we need to make sure that we support as much things, as much areas as we can to be visible, to be so that way kids know that we care for them. We're more worried about them besides, you know, grades or behaviors. Or administrator wants to see that my people are working themselves into leadership. I'm gonna sacrifice my time to support them in being celebrated at the district office, or students that are playing softball games. We're going out there to watch them play softball, or kids that are in band, just come to the concert. Just show your face for a few minutes and then, you know, take off. But just taking smaller sacrifice goes a long way in getting advocacy and getting buy-in from everybody. That's my word of the year, buy-in. When you buy in, when somebody buys into your program, you're going to get everything you need. You're going to get all the advocacy, you're going to get all support, you're going to get all the tools, whether it's monetary or time worthy, or it's the material things you might need for your counseling department, like anything like a flash drive or a free meal or some gift cards from Walmart or something like that. Those things can come into place if you show sacrifice and dedication to what our craft is. We already doing it. We need to make sure that we don't get tired of making sure that we're doing this for not. So I know some counselors out there are saying, "Man, I'm tired of sacrificing. Just hold on a little bit longer. Just hold on. I'm holding on right now. Just hold on. Your time of the sunshine is going to come." I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. Of course, you can find it on Anchor, Breaker, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Overcast. We out.